Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We're coming to you from Mumias, Kenya, West Kenya, near the Uganda border. And we've had some great meetings here this fall in Kenya. We just finished up a crusade a week ago in Kisii, down in southwest Kenya. Had many, many thousands. I would guess about 30,000 maybe came out over a 4-day period, maybe 35,000 over a 4-day period. And we had many salvation decisions, and so it was great meetings. We have some great meetings lined up in the days ahead. I'm going to be doing a crusade in February in Butere, here not far from my home here in Mumias. And we have a pastor's group over there we're meeting with and organizing. And then we're going to be going to Tanzania in July, and possibly to Pakistan, possibly to some other countries in Africa, back to Burundi, where I had a successful crusade in October in Burundi. And so many, many plans laid for the future. And that brings me to today's subject, which is crossing over to 2019. Well, we're on the cusp of another year. And another year has gone by. We can look back on this last year and measure our success, measure our failures, measure our accomplishments. And as a believer, as someone who believes in Jesus Christ and trusts for his direction in my life, it's important for me, and I hope it's important for you, that we keep moving forward in the kingdom, that we keep looking for the next glory to glory, that we keep searching. The Bible says it's the glory of God to conceal a matter, but it's the glory of man or the glory of kings to search it out. And so our job as a believer, as a follower of Jesus Christ, our job is to search out the path that God has for us, to search out the destiny, the calling that God has for us, and to move forward with boldness, with confidence, with courage, to move forward into that calling, into that destiny, to not only fulfill our own personal destiny, our own personal pathway, you might say, to God, but also to see that kingdom move forward, that other people can come to know the Lord Jesus, other people can be taught what is the truth of the Bible and the truth of the kingdom of God. And so we press on with perseverance, we press on with diligence. And so all of these things then we take to our heart and we press on so that God will be pleased with us, and also we will fulfill our destiny here on this earth. We will fulfill the reason for which God created us here on this earth. Well, again, turn to Joshua chapter 1, and this is going to be the crossing over, the instruction of Joshua given by the Lord. When Joshua is preparing the children of Israel, and the Lord is preparing the children of Israel to cross the Jordan River, to go into the promised land, and they've been out in the wilderness area, if you can picture this, for 40 years they've been out in the wilderness area, wandering around from place to place. What could have been an 11-day journey took them 40 years because they were disobedient to God. Moses was disobedient at times, and so he was not able to cross into the promised land. And the children of Israel were disobedient. Aaron was down building a golden calf, an idol, and so they were disobedient in many ways. And so the Lord took them on a long roundabout way, 40 years out in the wilderness area. So the rebellious generation, the older generation, it would not be able to enter the promised land, but they all died in the wilderness. And so now we have Joshua and Caleb, the elders, and then the young people under 21 years of age that are now poised to go into the promised land and take up the mantle that Moses had given to Joshua. And so the Lord is instructing Joshua. He says here in chapter 1, verse 2, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all the people, to the land which I am giving them, the children of Israel." And so this is the first point I'm going to bring up right here today, and that is, you are receiving a mantle from your ancestors. You are receiving a mantle If you are listening to me today, somebody has gone ahead of you. Somebody has gone ahead and broken the ice, you might say, or broke ground, so that you may be blessed, so that you may go forward in the kingdom and accomplish exploits for the kingdom, accomplish the things that God wants you to do that is building on what somebody else has already done. And so Moses is dead. In all of our life, we have a Moses. I know in my own life, there were many elders in the church I grew up in, including my own father, and I looked up to those men. I held them in high esteem. I saw there an example of great men. I saw an example of men who studied God's word, and men who led their families in a good way and were a good example, a good role model, an example to their families, and they provided for their families, they cared for their families, their children, their wives, and so they are the Moses in our own lives that we look up to. And every single one of you has a Moses in your life. Somebody, maybe have been the person that led you to the Lord, maybe been a pastor, may have been somebody that was had a radio ministry, a TV ministry, or whatever, or maybe just a neighbor or somebody in your life that spoke into your life. And now it is time for you to take up the mantle that your ancestor has given you. You can't rely, or you can't just lean on that mantle that they were carrying. You can't lean on it. You can't let it carry you. Yes, it encourages us to receive that mantle. It encourages us and stimulates us to love and good deeds. But it is time for you, beloved, no matter who you are, if you're listening to me today, unless you're not a believer, and in which case you need to confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior. But if you are a believer, if you are a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, it is time for you to take up your mantle and to move forward into what God has called you to do. There's no more time for hesitation. The time is growing short. Many, many people in this world do not know Jesus as their Lord and their Savior. And beloved, God is counting on us to take the message to them. That's the whole purpose of this radio broadcast. That's the whole purpose of the ministry I have here in Africa that the Lord has given me. It is so that the people who don't know Jesus can come to know Him and come to call Him their Lord and their Savior, and they too can then take up their mantle and move into their destiny and their calling. And I would suggest, if you don't know what your calling is and you have no idea what God wants you to do while you're here on this earth, other than now that you're saved and you're happy for that, spend some time in prayer, spend time in fasting, spend time, get off by yourself, and spend time a whole day reading God's word, drinking water, drinking some juice, do a fast, and just say, Lord, here am I. What do you want me to do? Here am I, Lord. Send me. Open doors for me. Show me where you want me to go. Lord, I'm an open book. You know, I've told this testimony several times before on the radio, but I'll share it again right here. Back in about 2009, the Lord gave me a dream, and He showed me He wanted me to go to Africa to preach. And I did not know one single person in Africa, had no desire to go there. Really, I was very happy, doing what God had me to do. I was preaching in the prison two or three times a week, and also doing short-term mission trips to Costa Rica, Mexico, different places. And God gave me a very profound, detailed dream. He showed me that He was opening up the door for me to come to Africa. And the dream, I'll just describe it carefully here. I was standing on a platform with my Bible held up over my head in my right hand. In my left hand, I had a white bag, like a big gunny sack, and it had written on the front, Revelation 22. And in the bag was ears of maize, white maize corn in the bag, filled up as a sign of provision, or God's provision for me. And behind me on the platform was a big grain silo, like a 2,000 or a 5,000 bushel grain silo. And it was filled to the top, overflowing with big ears of maize. It was actually the old wooden slat kind of silo. And it was filled to the top with big ears of maize corn. Out in front of me thousands of African people. I knew by the way they dressed and the way they looked that they were African people. Even though I'd never been to Africa, I had this image in my mind from pictures that I'd seen. And then between me and the African people, there was about 40 men standing there that had red hats and blue shirts on. These are the men from the prison where I was preaching, my home church in the prison. And these were my intercessors who were interceding for me as I took the message of the gospel to the people in Africa. And so God gave me everything I needed there to walk into my destiny. He gave me everything I needed to show me what he was expecting and what he was opening up for me. And it was just a short time after that, I received a call from a friend of mine, an evangelist from Florida. And he said, Jim, we're going to Kenya, to Nairobi. We're going to be preaching around in Nairobi, in Kibera, the big slum there, and in Uhuru Park, the big park in Nairobi. And he said, we have a big worship team of about 10 people. We have some ladies to work in the orphanages with the children and do some micro business enterprise stuff. And he said, we need a couple of preachers to go with us. And he asked me, do you want to go with us to Kenya to preach? And I didn't even have to hesitate. I didn't have to pray about it. I knew this is what God wanted me to do. I knew because he had already warned me in that dream and showed me that he was going to be opening up the door for me to come. And so that was how I first came to Africa. So I took up the mantle of so many great preachers who had come to Africa before me. In fact, that first time that I came to Nairobi in 2010, I preached in All Nations Church in Kibera, and I stood in the very same pulpit that T.L. Osborne, one of the great evangelists of the last generation, T.L. Osborne, who preached to millions of people here in Africa and in other countries around the world, and also Oral Roberts, stood in that very same pulpit. I stood in the same pulpit where many great evangelists, including those two men, had stood. And so I felt like I was on very anointed ground. I was in a place of anointing, and God was just revealing to me what he wanted me to do and how he wanted me to proceed. And the mantle that he was placing on me that had been given to me by God, but working through other men as they preached here in Africa. And so that is the first point I'm making today. Take up your mantle. Stop leaning on your ancestors. Go out there. You can become the next whoever. You can become the next Billy Graham, the next T.L. Osborne, the next great preacher, the next great evangelist, teacher, whatever. You can become that person. You can do what God has called you to do. And you don't need to shy away from it. You don't need to retreat. Just move forward in boldness and in confidence. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I said to Moses. And so this is the second point, is when God gives you the authority to go, he will give you the authority to take ground for the kingdom of God. He will give you the authority to tread on serpents, to tread on scorpions. He will give you the authority where your feet tread. You will be taking ground for the kingdom of God. And you don't need to be shy about it. You don't need to be timid. You just move forward and you boldly take territory for the kingdom of God. God is with you. He will not forsake you. Beloved, many of you, you are saved. You're born again. You know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You know God as the Father of Jesus Christ, but you're not sure when you step forward that God is with you. And so therefore you're timid, you're shy. You don't want to go into the new, whatever it is God has for you. You hold back, you hold back, you hold back. And so fear and timidity dominates your life. And as a result, when you look back at your accomplishments over the year, you don't have a sense of accomplishment. You don't have a sense of satisfaction and fulfillment that you should have when you're moving forward in boldness and in confidence and doing those things that God has you to do. Well, verse 5, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Beloved, if you are a born-again believer, God is with you. God is with you. And you know, sometimes we don't hear the answer to our prayers. God doesn't shout back, "Oh yes, I heard your prayer, so here's your answer right now." Though God doesn't do that. Sometimes you may hear through the Holy Spirit. Sometimes you may even hear an audible voice of God. Sometimes you may hear from another person the answer to your prayer. But there's times when you're just praying and you have to wonder, maybe sometimes, did God hear my prayer? Is God with me? Does God care about me? Does God even know my problems? Does he know the details of my life? Well, trust me and trust God that he knows the details of your life. He knows your problems. He knows every aspect of your life. He created you, and he's intimately concerned and intimately familiar with every detail of your life. Your financial problems, your relationship problems, your confidence problems, your job problems, every problem that you have, God knows about it, he cares about it, he loves you, and he is ready to send his angels to answer the desires of your heart, to answer your prayers, the things that you ask of him. But sometimes it just takes time. In a spirit realm, there's a battle going all the time. Sometimes it takes time, and so you have to battle in a spirit realm for the things that are the desires of your heart. The devil is always there to counteract whatever we want. The devil is always there to impede our progress, to slow us down. The devil will try to stall out everything that you're trying to do for the kingdom. He'll try to steal your salvation. He'll try to steal the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The devil is a worthy adversary, and he is a strong adversary. And don't ever disrespect the devil or think that somehow he's just a weakling and you can push him around and just get anything you want anytime you want. You just snap your fingers. It isn't that way. There's a spiritual battle going on all the time between the kingdom of God, the kingdom of light, and the kingdom of darkness. And as a result of that spiritual battle, it takes time for prayers to be answered and for God to show himself and reveal himself through answered prayers in our life. Well, Deuteronomy 31:8, back to Deuteronomy, where the Lord was speaking to Moses. The Lord spoke to Moses, and he said, "And the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed." And so God was giving Moses instruction. And in Deuteronomy 31:6, Moses said to Joshua, "Be strong and of good courage." Well, Moses, of course, did not get to go into the promised land. God was not happy with him because Moses had struck the rock when God instructed him to speak to the rock, to receive water from the rock. And so as a result, Moses did not get to go into the promised land. Well, so the first time we hear those words, "be strong and of good courage," is in Joshua 1:6. Be strong and of good courage. And we see it again in verse 7. "Only be strong and very courageous," the Lord says to Joshua, "that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go." Beloved, God wants you to prosper. That's not necessarily to have a big fat bank account. That's not necessarily to have a brand new car. In your driveway, there may be times when you need a new car or when you are blessed with a new car, but what God is prospering you with is the riches of the kingdom of heaven, the riches of knowing him, and that includes also having the provision to be able to supply the things that we need, our food, our water, our shelter, our clothing, our electricity, whatever it is we need. Yes, that is prosperity also. Maybe you have some money in a bank account, but our money is for the kingdom of God. Our money is to be used to move the kingdom forward, to move the kingdom in such a way that progress is made in leading lost souls to Jesus Christ. And as I look forward in my life to this coming year, I spoke about the crusades we've had in different places, and I look forward in the next year to more crusades, more people coming into the kingdom, more souls saved, more people healed, and all of those things. Beloved, I count as prosperity because the Bible says when you store up your treasures in heaven, when you send your treasures on ahead of you to heaven, then they will be there for you when you get there. And your treasury in heaven will be filled by the work that you do, by the money that you give to the kingdom, by the money you bless missionaries, money you bless your local church. That is storing up your treasure in heaven. And you don't then store your money so much in earthly treasures where moths come in and destroy and thieves come in and steal and rust breaks it down and destroys it. And so our treasure then is sent on to heaven, and it is sent on so that we can have treasures in heaven when we spend all eternity in heaven. Well, in verse 8, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. Well, the book of the law, we know, was the what we call the Torah, the Ten Commandments, and the law of the Old Testament. And we don't have that. We have it, but that's not the law that we adhere to necessarily today. That is incorporated into the new covenant. The new law is the law that we have of Jesus, which is love your neighbor as yourself and also to love your God. And those two things are the law that we abide to. Love your God only, to love him, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And so those laws are the laws that guide our life. And we don't necessarily legalistically have to keep the Ten Commandments, although we do because we love Jesus, we love God, and so we become moral people, we become people of integrity, people of good character, people that are righteous and stand for righteousness. But I want you to understand this, that when you meditate on God's Word, when you read the Bible every single day and you meditate on that Word, the law of God, the law of righteousness, the law of mercy and grace and all of those things that the Bible espouses, that law becomes written on your heart. It becomes written on your heart, and you then become a man or a woman of God. And so God is saying, don't depart from the law. Meditate on it day and night, and then observe to do what is written in it. You know, the Bible says, don't be just a reader or a seer of the Word, but become a doer of the Word. Don't be someone who just reads it and then forgets about what you read, and you don't keep his commandments. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And so one sign of a person that really loves Jesus Christ, one sign is a person who lives a holy life, who attempts to live a holy life, who strives to live a life of righteousness, is a person who, of their word, and they speak the truth, they know the truth, they speak it, and you can trust their word. They are the people of good character, people of integrity. And so these are the people then that are loving Jesus and showing it by their actions and showing it by the way that they live. Well, verse 9, have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage, do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. There's that admonishment again, that encouragement, the Lord is with you wherever you go. And for the third time, the Lord says to Joshua, be strong and of good courage. Well, I think by this time Joshua is starting to get the message. God is calling him to be strong, to be of good courage. He's telling him, Joshua, man up, cowboy up, as they say in Kansas, cowboy up. 2 Timothy 1:7, God tells Timothy the same thing through the Apostle Paul. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. And so God did not desire for us to have a spirit of fear. He wants us to move forward with boldness. We have a sound mind. We can reason things out. We can weigh the consequences, weigh the cost, and move forward with boldness and confidence when we have a strong mind and a spirit of courage, a spirit of strength that is given to us by the Lord, and we don't have to shrink back from the enemy. We don't have to run and be cowards. We can go forward in strength in whatever God has called us to do. Well, I'm going to wrap up verse 18 here. Whoever rebels against your command and does not heed your words in all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. So the fourth time the Lord says to Joshua, only be strong and of good courage. So that is my encouragement for you today, beloved. If you're listening out there today and you're a little bit frustrated or disappointed in what you accomplished for the kingdom in 2018, let me say this to you today. 2019 is going to be a new day for you. It's going to be a new time for you. God is going to open up new doors for you. It will be a time when you can move forward boldly with confidence. Be strong and courageous. Set your sights high. Keep your eyes focused on Jesus. Set your sights heavenly. Be seated in the heavenly places and take your seat with Jesus Christ and move forward with boldness and confidence, because God is with you and he will never forsake you. He will never abandon you. Well, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. Beloved, we enjoy bringing these broadcasts to you, and I appreciate your support. I ask you to sit down, pray about your part in helping to take the gospel message, the good news of Jesus Christ, to the nations of Africa and other nations around the world. And so if you would pray about your part, sit down, write us out a check, drop us a line, let us know you're listening, let us know that you like these broadcasts, and we will be grateful to you. We'll get you a copy of my book. Stay tuned for contact information coming up right at the end of this broadcast. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.